Weisler's archaeological excavations uncovered extensive evidence of trade among all three islands, whereby each island's deficiencies were filled by the other island's surpluses. Numerous objects excavated at sites on Henderson could immediately be identified as imports because they were made from materials foreign to Henderson. Oyster shell fish hooks and vegetable peelers, volcanic glass cutting tools, and basalt adzes and oven stones. Where did those imports come from? A reasonable guess is that the oyster shell for fish hooks came from Mangareva. A few oyster shell artifacts have also been found in Pitcairn and are similarly presumed to have come from Mangareva. All analyzed pieces of volcanic glass found on Henderson originated at the Down Rope Quarry on Pitcairn. Most of Henderson's basalt adzes also originated from Pitcairn, but some came from Mangareva. On Mangareva itself, some adzes were also evidently made from Pitcairn basalt, imported presumably because of its superiority to Mangareva's own basalt. As for what products Henderson exported to Pitcairn and Mangareva in return, we can only guess. One plausible candidate is live sea turtles, which were prized as a prestigious luxury food consumed mainly by chiefs. A second candidate is red feathers from Henderson's parrot, fruit dove, and red-tailed tropic bird, red feathers being another prestigious luxury item used for ornaments and feather cloaks. However, exchanges of raw materials, manufactured items, and luxuries would not have been the sole motive for transoceanic trade and travel. Even after Pitcairn's and Henderson's populations had grown to their maximum possible size, their numbers were so low that people of marriageable age would have found few potential partners on the island, and most of those partners would have been close relatives subject to incest taboos. Hence, exchanges of marriage partners would have been an additional important function of the trade with Mangareva. It would also have served to bring skilled craftspeople with technical skills from Mangareva's large population to Pitcairn and Henderson, and to re-import crops that by chance had died out in Pitcairn's and Henderson's small cultivable areas. Trade within Southeast Polynesia continued from about AD 1000 to 1450, as gauged by artifacts and radiocarbon-dated archaeological layers on Henderson. But by 1500, the trade had stopped. Later archaeological layers on Henderson contain no more imported Mangareva oyster shell, no more Pitcairn volcanic glass. Apparently, the canoes were no longer arriving from either Mangareva or Pitcairn. Because trees on Henderson are too small to make canoes, Henderson's population of a few dozen was now trapped on one of the most remote, most daunting islands in the world. Henderson Islanders confronted a problem that seems insoluble to us. How to survive on a raised limestone reef without any metal, without stones other than limestone, and without imports of any type. They survived in ways that strike me as a mixture of ingenious, desperate, and pathetic. For the raw material of adzes, they turned to shells of giant clams. For awls to punch holes, they fell back on bird bones. They made their fish hooks out of purse shell, which is much smaller than black-lipped pearl oyster shell, so that it yields only one hook per shell and restricts the types of hooks that can be fashioned. Radiocarbon dates suggest that struggling on in this way, Henderson's population of a few dozen people survived for several generations, possibly a century or more, after all contact with Mangareva and Pitcairn was cut. But by AD 1606, the year of Henderson's discovery by Europeans, when a boat from a passing Spanish ship landed on the island and saw no one, Henderson's population had ceased to exist. Pitcairn's population had disappeared at least by 1790, the year when the bounty mutineers arrived, and probably disappeared much earlier. Why did Henderson's contact with the outside world come to a halt? That outcome stemmed from disastrous environmental changes on Mangareva and Pitcairn. Mangareva was especially susceptible to deforestation for most of the reasons that I identified for Easter Island: high latitude, low ash and dust fallout, and so on. Habitat damage was extreme in Mangareva's hilly interior, most of which the islanders proceeded to deforest in order to plant their gardens. As a result, rain carried topsoil down the steep slopes, and the forest became replaced by a savanna of ferns. That soil erosion in the hills removed much of the area formerly available on Mangareva for gardening and tree crops. Deforestation indirectly reduced yields from fishing as well, because no trees large enough to build canoes remained. When Europeans discovered Mangareva in 1797, the islanders had no canoes, only rafts. With too many people and too little food, Mangareva society slid into a nightmare of civil war and chronic hunger, whose consequences are recalled in detail by modern islanders. For protein, people turned to cannibalism in the form not only of eating freshly dead people, but also of digging up and eating buried corpses. Chronic fighting broke out over the precious remaining cultivable land. The winning side redistributed the land of the losers. Instead of an orderly political system based on hereditary chiefs, non-hereditary warriors took over. The thought of Lilliputian military dictatorships on eastern and western Mangareva battling for control of an island only 5 miles long could seem funny if it were not so tragic.